And as you open up to a book, which you normally do not look into it, but we're going to open the Bible this morning together so you can find it. It's somewhere in your Bible. It's called the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're in the middle of the Bible, there's a chance that you hit the book of Psalms. If you make a right turn and go to Proverbs, then you probably, once you come out of Proverbs, you're probably going to hit Ecclesiastes. So we're going to look at chapter 3 this morning. And as you look for that book, let me ask you a couple of questions. One of them is, what would you ask Jesus if you would have an opportunity today or tomorrow to walk with him for 30 minutes somewhere, just you and him, 30 minutes? What would your question be? You don't have to yell it out. Just think about it. How many would have to say that probably would be some of the most important 30 minutes I will ever spend? And how many of you would say after the 30 minutes, the clock ticked, time is out, it's done. You would say, how stupid could I be? I had 15 more questions and I did not ask them. There's one question I would ask him. And that would be the question, Lord, what time is it? Like the disciples ask him, will you at this time come back and restore your kingdom? Lord, what time is it on the prophetic clock? Lord, how long until you come back and take us home to be with you forever? And Lord, just to make sure, am I written down in your book? Is my name down? He probably would rebuke me for it. But it would be worth asking, wouldn't it? Just in case. I can't take the rebuke for getting the assurance that I'm in it. What time is it? It all depends where you're living, correct? How many of you know in New Zealand is a different time slot than we have in America right now? It's a different time. But what time is it for you and me today? And that's a question one of the wisest men God has ever brought upon this earth was asking. He asked a few more questions, and we're going to read a few verses, well, 15 to be precise, in the third chapter. And then we're going to look at a few in that, and hopefully we get a challenge to walk with God in such a way that we don't waste any time. Solomon said, to everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. How many of you were born? Oh, good. Nobody came from heaven in a parachute. A time to die. A time to plant. And a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill. And a time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. How many of you would have to say a lot of times in there? Yeah. He goes on to say, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of man are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. You may want to underline that. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it, that man should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. How many would have to say, that's quite a philosopher? That man knows a lot about life. There are some questions which you ask yourself sometimes during your life, correct? Do you know that the answer to all these questions and to all these time questions is actually found in the New Testament? Let's go with me to Ephesians. And let's see what the Apostle Paul is telling us in chapter 5. You have to go to the New Testament. It's a long journey, but eventually we'll arrive there. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible, which has a little bit more description of some of the words which normally would be difficult to understand. He goes in verse 15 and says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. How many would have to say, that's a challenge right there? He goes on to say, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. How many of you would have to say, that's an accurate description of our days as well? Then he goes on to say, therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. That sums up the Christian life, doesn't it? Question is, when do you think is the right time to do all this? All the time. How many of you succeeding? Let's not give religious answers. Let's just evaluate our life once. This is obviously a new version, kind of modern version of what Solomon is telling us. It's a time for everything, correct? For you and me as born-again believer, it is the time to do just that. Be careful how you walk. You know, we're talking about walking with the Lord. How many of you would have to say, you probably would be on your best behavior if you would walk alongside Jesus right now? I want to make a good impression, you know? Like he would not know you. He knows better. What if he would look over and say, that's the first time I see you behaving. And you would go, Lord, no, I behave all the time. And he would probably say, really? That would be the end of it. People would kind of sneak in, you know, a little behind him and try to disappear. But Paul said, we have to make the very most of the time. Everything God has given us, we have to make the very most. Because there is a time, as Solomon said, for everything. And every season, if you want to call this word time season, for every season, there is a purpose. So how many of you know, the season that you are sitting right now here, that time slot you have taken out of your day, and you're sitting here, God has a very specific purpose. And one of the purposes I know for sure is not applicable to you is to fall asleep on me. So that's not a purpose. To daydream is not a purpose. The purpose is that you are going to, first, Paul said, We're going to sing. We speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means we're making melody. To whom? To God. So this morning when you came and were singing worship songs, to whom did you sing? I know the last song you were singing, you definitely sang to God. Do you know how I could tell? You sang from the bottom of your heart. I could tell. It was beautiful. I've stepped into many churches and I brag a little bit about you. Kind of lift you up so the hammer comes right after. Isn't that modern psychology? Had a few lessons, a few courses that I had to take, you know. But I've stepped into many churches. And you know what? Very seldom have I heard churches sing the way you do. Good. From the bottom of your heart. Makes me proud. Because I know God is in our midst. And we worship the Lord. This is what Paul says. That's how we start out. Because at all times and for everything in the last line in verse 20, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. So there is a purpose in everything we do, in everything you do every day. Even if you do a job which you do not like, there's a purpose for it. There's a season for it. And so when we walk with God, you and I can find out in Ecclesiastes that there is a time for everything in the season, and behind it there is a purpose under heaven for everything God did. So if I ask you the question, so what time is it? I will probably answer it this way. It's time to make the very most of the time. In other words, to make your time on earth count. How many of you would have to say, yeah, that sounds pretty good? And how many of you would have to say, I do a lot of things with my time, it doesn't count. It's just gone. How many of you were successfully recuperating some of it? No, yeah, there's no debit and credit in that world of time. Chuck Swindoll once said, as God's people, we're the ones who ought to be having the time of our lives. But it's been my observation that far too many Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. End of quote. When I read that out, I met some of those people too. In other words, if we know that God has given us all the time for our life, and we can utilize that time to bring glory and honor to Him, there is no reason to behave like an old lemon. We should be the most happy and rejoicing people. There's a reason for it. There's a purpose for that. If you and I have a certain vision what our life should look like, how many of you know behind every vision there's a visionary? And do you know the difference between having a vision and being a visionary is? Do you know what that is? Commitment. There are a lot of people who have visions and dreams what they could accomplish for God, but the visionary makes a commitment to the vision he has. And their commitment means that they have to spend energy into that vision. Sometimes it helps to have a little enthusiasm about it. And sometimes it helps if God has gifted us in the area we see the vision God has given us. How many would have to say, probably the first struggle is full commitment to the vision. Because there's always somebody who takes a little time, which we think is more important to spend time over here, than make the commitment to the vision. I say that many times to my students. I say, you and I need to understand, we'll never find time for anything. We have to make time. That's called commitment. When you walk with Jesus, my friends, you will never have time to walk with Jesus. How many of you know how the day goes when you get up in the morning? There are so many things on your plate, and you need to get out of there and need to get going, and there is no time because we have made no commitment to make the time. It takes commitment. When that commitment is done, Then we put energy into it. How many would have to say, I waste a lot of my energy? Absolutely, we do. We all do. On the things which are really not counting much. And what about that enthusiasm? What about that enthusiasm? Let me bring you back to when we started the new worship facility. There were so many people showing up, but had a heartache and headache to play some all what they all could do. He comes to me and said, all these people, we need to give them all work. Boy, did we have enthusiasm. The last 2 months, what do we need to do today? There's still something to do. It kind of went somewhere. It's that commitment. It's that time. He served that sermon when we're almost done, you know. Otherwise, he said, the guy's preaching wants us to be over there. And some of you, I don't want to see over there. And some of you, I love to see over there. And I'm not going to tell which one is which. But how many of you know, when we make a commitment and we put the energy into it, enthusiasm goes a long way. And when Paul said that we have to speak to one another, hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, he means that we are encouraging one another to get enthused about what God is doing. Some of you maybe have never recognized that in my lifetime, I will not build another worship facility. This was your time. He thinks like I'm Moses, 120. You have misunderstood me, man. I said, I will not build another worship facility. It was a little bit a trap. But what an incredible opportunity for you and me to energize our brothers and sisters and to be a part of something which God is doing and put some time into it. I'll let you know why. Because how many of you know time is a gift from God? How many of you know that? It's to utilize for His glory, only for His glory. And the first thing we're going to learn is, what does it mean, time? What does it mean? What do you think? I put a little thing up there for you to describe what time is all about. Time is a stretch of duration in which things happen. That's all. That's time. That means each one of us has things happening in life, and it's a portion of our time. It does not matter, by the way, if you are awake or asleep, or if something happens. Time passes. How many of you know time will pass even if you're conscious or unconscious? Time passes. If you sleep 6 hours or 10 hours, time passes. If you go to school, kids, and you sleep and have a window seat, time passes. If you learn anything or learn nothing, time passes. Nothing you can do about it. The great philosopher William James once said, the great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. That's how we spend our time, the wisest. Think about time this way. You know I love numbers. So I quizzed my wife this week and said, hey, how many seconds do we have per day? And she goes, man, ask me something else. I said, we have 86,400 seconds every day. By the way, kids, that will eventually end up to 24 hours a day. The question is, what are we doing with these 86,400 seconds? Now, let me put that in perspective. The kids have no clue what I'm talking about. Time for them is just coming and going. They have eternity ahead of them. Let me explain that to you in a way that you are going to get it. If I would tell you, from now on, Every day, I put $86,400 in your bank account. Every day. For the rest of your life. Amen. You need to be delivered. But there's one condition. You have to spend it every day. I cannot let you carry anything over. My son says, I can handle that. You cannot take any debit or credits. It's got to be spent that day. That's it. After a while, it will get pretty boring. And whatever is in the bank account left when midnight strikes, it's lost. It's done. So now let's go back to our time. We have that many seconds every day. And we can use it. But whatever we haven't used is gone. That's how God designed it. How many of you would have to say, I don't spend too much of my time really good? Or with the $86,400, we would say, man, I was so overwhelmed with the amount of money I had every day coming in, I just had to go spend it, but I didn't think how I spent it. I just wanted to get it out of my bank account. And when they look at all the stuff they bought, they better own a garbage company because it needs to be hauled. And you know what? We're doing that with our time many times. We just spend it, but it's garbage. This is why Solomon wrote these little challenges for us. Beginning in verse 2, he gives us 14 contrasts. These contrasts are projecting my life. This morning I will take time for the first 6, otherwise you're going to be here a long time. The first one, he says, there's a time to give birth and a time to die. Notice in verse 1 that everything is in God's hand. How many of you had anything to do with when you came to this earth and when you were born? That's what Solomon says. And just as you had absolutely nothing to do with when you were born, you probably have absolutely nothing to do when you die. That's in God's hands, correct? And the time between birth and death, that's what God gives you. That's it. And that's what Solomon says. There's a purpose behind it. And there's a purpose for the time when you came to enter this world. And there's a purpose when you die. And what you're going to do between it, that's called time. And then it's done. A second contrast, he tells us, there's a time to plant and there's a time to uproot what is planted. Well, if you preach that sermon in a city, they have no clue what you're talking about it. But since we are in Iowa, everyone around here knows what it means to plant and to harvest, or to uproot. But let me imply a little bit more spiritual significance to that. And that is, how many of you have ever lived in a certain time for a certain amount of time at the same spot, and then you uprooted and went somewhere else? That's what the Bible is referring to here. There's a time to plant, there's a time to set feet down, there's a time to make your home, but there's sometimes a time when you have to uproot everything and move on. Question, in whose hands is it? There's a thing in God's hands. And there's a purpose for everything. Let me turn it around. If you would say, I am uprooting where I'm at, and I'm going somewhere, wherever you may decide to go, but it was not God's will for you to uproot, how many of you would have to say, you wasted a lot of time? See how important that is? So whenever we make a decision that we plant something, planting a family, planting a church, God is in it. And when God wants to uprooted, we go. I always said, if a church stops preaching the gospel, it just should be sold as a gas station. Somebody can still fill something up that's worthwhile going somewhere. The church can close its doors. It's not worth it. Solomon said, there's a time to plant your feet and there's a time to move on. It's a time for everything. Like here comes a tough one. Verse 3. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. People could say, hey, you told me I can kill. There's a time to kill. And let me tell you something. How close we are between kill and healing. How many of you know murder and medicine is right next to each other? Or let me bring it home even a little bit closer. There are manufacturers of drugs that kill, and the same manufacturer produces drugs that heals. When Solomon refers to the time to kill and the time to heal, he says they are so close together, and if we don't have God's will, we may do the wrong thing. It's got to be in God's purpose. It's got to be in God's will. For you and me, to kill is never an option. To heal, yes, an option. But in the world we're living in, and Solomon lived in, both of them are very close together. He goes on to say, there is a time to tear down and a time to build up. How many of you have ever watched in the cities when you go to Ames or you go to Des Moines, you see one day a demolition crew taking down an old house. A month later, you drive by, there's a construction crew on the same place where there was a demolition crew. And you go, look how fast these guys are building. But before they could build, they had to tear it down. That's what Solomon says. There will be a time coming when some things have to be taken down and other things to be built. In the spiritual, same way. How many would have to say, you have a few things which is worthwhile to have a demolition crew coming in and take it down. And after that, there should be a construction crew coming in into your life. And it should be built. I always say, if you are growing up in a spiritual environment where everything that has been built is not built upon the solid rock, how many would have to say, it's time to demolish that thing? Take it down. And then God builds new. This is why the Bible tells us that the foundation is the crucial part. And the Apostle Paul said that the foundation cannot be relaid. The apostles laid the foundation once and for all. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. You cannot redo that. That's why I'm getting nervous when people call themselves apostles. An apostle is somebody who is a participant of laying a foundation. What they're telling me is, we're laying another foundation. And the Bible says, oh no, we don't lay any other foundation. And there's no other cornerstone but Jesus Christ. And in your my life, sometimes the demolition crew has to come in. We have to tear down of some of the old stuff needs to go before we can get the new stuff in there to build. That's what Solomon is referring to. He goes on to say, oh, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. How many of you have ever seen people, they can weep and laugh at the same time? For that, you have to be an anointed girl. Girls can do that. When their emotions go crazy, they can weep and they can laugh all at the same time. Never understood it, but seen it. But how many of you know that there is a time to weep? And there's a time to rejoice, to laugh. Some people say, well, when we have a funeral of a Christian brother or sister and they went to be with the Lord, it's a time to rejoice. Yes, they're with the Lord. But how many of you know there's a time to weep in that process? And ignoring that is just not biblical. It's just the way it is. Solomon said there is a time and a purpose to weep. And there's a time to laugh. By the way, it is not ungodly to be joyful. I know some of you go to church all your life and you think smiling is bringing the wrath of God. Not. It's not the case. But when something tragic happens, we may shed some tears. You know, when I heard about Lois having cancer, I thought, oh, Lord, no. Don't let that happen, you know? Then she brings me a report back, which made me happy. And I thought, yes, time to rejoice. That's what Solomon is referring to. There is a time. So don't mix it up or try to put it all together. I heard a story about a pastor who left his pastor about 20 years ago. And one of his best friends came to him and asked him, why did you leave the pastor and became a funeral director? This was his answer. It's a true story. I spent about 12 years trying to straighten out John. He never got straightened out. I spent 14 months trying to straighten out the marriage of the Smiths, and it never did get straightened out. I spent 3 years trying to straighten out Susan, and she never got straightened out. Now, when I straighten them out, they stay straight. I think I change occupation. Listen, when God gives us the gift of time, that means we can move within that time in whatever circumstances we are in. If it's a time to weep, we weep. If it's a time to rejoice and laugh, we do that. If it's a time to build, we build. If it's, believe me, I don't want to make this building time forever. You're getting tired. Then there's a time not to build. There's a time for everything. The bottom line is, what are we going to do as we encounter those times? The answer is, make the time count. That's what we want to do. Make the time count. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance, Solomon says. And you say, well, you can't do it both. No, he said, there is a time. I have seen families, they buried a loved one. And a year later, the daughter got married, and they all danced and rejoiced in the fact that she started a new family within 1 year. There's a time for everything. And obviously some people, you know, who have been way too long in the church, they say, well, you know, we lost Grandpa a year ago. I dare not go on the dance floor. Well, I wouldn't go on the dance floor even if nobody died. It's an ugly picture. I play the music for you, but I'm... No. My wife is an excellent dancer, just because I always played the music for her. I told her she only stayed in the rhythm because I always adjusted the tempo. There's a time to mourn right now. I got it. Let's drop down to verses 9 to 11 because Solomon has a lot of insight for us. The question obviously I have, when it comes to time and how we spend it, what is life without God? In regards to time, we have the same amount of time like an unbeliever. But remember, time is a gift from God given to live a life worth living. Jesus came one day and he said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father except to me. He says, and I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. The difference between life and more abundantly is simply that you know how to use the time and live it worthwhile. That's the difference right there. And so, Solomon is a realist, for those of you who haven't gotten it yet. He says, life without God is like chasing a wind. Let's read verse 9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I could answer you. Without God, zip. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of man are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. That's God. Also, he has put eternity into the hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. How many of you know? If you are living and using up the time God has given you without God in it, all you do is wasting your time. That's what you do. If you are in the Lord and you walk with the Lord and you use the time accordingly, you are investing your time for eternity. Some people think there's only one life and that's down here and after that it's over. There is an invisible world, my friends. There's a world which you can't see. There's a world which eventually will demand from you that you give account, as Solomon says, and there's no escape. Let me give an example. We are living in the 21st century where scientists have made huge strides. They discovered things which were absolutely impossible to discover for man without the microscope. There are things in this world which live, which we don't even know that they exist unless we put it under the microscope. Over the last 60 years, we discovered that we have particles, the atom, which is so small, and we thought we figured out the motherlode of scientific breakthroughs. And then we come to find out that 20 years later, we can split the atom and we find more elements in that atom, which the naked eye cannot see, but we know it's there. We know that inside there's a small particle. It's called an electron. An electron is so small, it takes a specialized microscope to see it. If you take that electron and it would grow to the size of an apple, so you can keep it in the palm of your hand, and you will take a human being, you for an example, and you would make you grow the same way like the electron grew into an apple size, you will be so big that you could hold the entire solar system in the palm of your hands. And you would need a microscope to see what you have in your hands. That's how big you will be. And you're telling me you know everything. We have a God who created everything in such a way that eternity, which is timeless, by the way, is not enough to find out all the mysteries of his creation. Let me bring you back to this world quickly. Here he puts us on this planet called Earth, and he gives us a gift of time, and he says, occupy, use it, figure out what I've done for you. Search for it. And we go, okay, tonight is my favorite TV show, no time. Sunday, no, I'm busy. I need to go and see my favorite football team. How much does that do for discovering God? It's quite a question, isn't it? Yet God has never said that he will expand time for you and me. There's a time for everything. And walking with the Lord, my friend, every day, and watching what he's showing us about life is the most exciting journey you can ever undertake. We sometimes have that crazy idea that we should talk people who don't know the Lord and don't want to serve the Lord to kind of accept the Lord. And how many of you have ever tried and failed miserably? We all do. But we are so occupied with the thought of eternity that we don't want anyone to slip into eternity not knowing God, which is a God-given desire, by the way. But we have to do it the biblical way. God said that we have to present the gospel with peace. How many would have to say forcing it is not with peace? We present the Prince of Peace, and we say to the person, today is the day of your salvation. It's given to you. You can do what you want to do. And the person said, I don't need God. And let me say, your brain is not even big as an apple. How many people wasting their time down here now? While they think they enjoy time, but they're wasting their time. And by the way, many times our lifestyles shorten our time on earth. And God says, I've given you that time to enjoy it. Bringing you the example of money, that always perks attention. And I would tell my son, I give you the $86,400 to put every day into your bank account. I don't have it, but I can make a promise. I give it to you. What would he say? Would have been better, Dad, if he would have put it in already 5 years ago. I would have known what to do with it. Not so. Because God gave his son before you were born for you. Before you and I took the first breath, he gave us salvation, present as a gift. And how long did it take us to take it? How long? All of us could say a different story. But you see the point. We have lived on this planet without abundant life. We just lived. We existed. And abundant life is available. And Solomon said there's a season for everything. And you know what? The season of grace, the age of grace, is now. You don't know when God wraps it up. For you, it may be today. You don't know. We take it lightly. We should never take it lightly. What time is it for you? I can't answer that. But I can tell you, it is good if you make a decision to make the time count for God. Why would you like to go to heaven and spend eternity with somebody you didn't want to spend a single minute down here with? Wouldn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to God either. Think about it. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We serve a God who has given us more than just time. He has done things for us which we cannot understand. And the Apostle Paul summarizes that when he writes to the Corinthians. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What does that mean? How many of you know Paul knew a lot more than that? He was a very highly regarded scholar in the Jewish history and Jewish religion. But he said, when I came, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He could have said it this way. When I came to you, I didn't want to waste my time. I wanted to give it to you straight. So that's what I did. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. In other words, they're wasting the time. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. For what? Want to read that? For our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's a lot of stuff people don't know. But listen what he says. But it, as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I gave you a simple example of an electron, which you can't see. Can you imagine what God has prepared for you and me? God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Does Paul say that if you spend enough time, you figure out every mystery of God? No. But one day, when we get to glory, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us, and we will go, wow, wow, all this? And I've only spent 20, 30, 40, 50 years with the Lord. That's all the time I spend. And He gives me this throughout eternity. How many would have to say, this is not a fair trade. We get the better stick, the better end of the deal. For the little amount of time we put in, He gives us all this. Undeserved. Some of you still are not in it. You still need to get there. So I'm talking about Chinese to you, correct? You have no clue what I'm talking about. But God can change that. And it doesn't take a human being to interfere between you and God. It's you and God. The only thing I can ask you this morning is, don't waste your time. The time is now. Tomorrow we don't know. We only have today. Remember, we can't take that time over. It's today. God lives in the present. Today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the time. Thank You, Lord, for revealing to us how precious that gift is. May each one of us use it wisely. May some of us in here, Lord, who have never even made a commitment to serve You, may today be the day, the time spent well from this day on. Thank You for reminding us each day that yes, it does take commitment, but You will bless everything that is committed to You. And for it, we thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen. Amen.